If you knew that you were going to die a martyr's death, what legacy of words would you leave for your still very small child that doesn't understand or won't remember you probably? We're going to look at a man today. I'll probably butcher his name, but he was a Renaissance painter, actually, in Holland. His name was Jan Wouter van Kujik, and he lived in Dordrecht, Holland. As I said, he was actually a fairly famous painter then, and all of his works were destroyed by the Catholic Church, so ISIS wasn't the first terrorist organization to destroy artwork and ancient treasures. But I want to tell you about his story and his the words he left for his daughter that she would read later, years after he would be dead. Jan Kujik was, again, in Holland, born and raised there. He'd been moving his family from place to place because the authorities were after him because he was a heretic for his belief in the Bible and his beliefs that salvation was a personal matter of faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't know if somebody informed the police or how it happened, but the bailiff found out where he was residing and came to his home to arrest him. They hammered on the door. Jan realized at that moment that he was going to be captured and arrested, and he had worked out an arrangement with his wife and young daughter that he would stall when that happened. And so he went to the door. He asked them, could he help them? And the bailiff said, "Does Jan van Kujik live here?" And Jan replied in his booming voice that he was their man, and they could arrest him right here. That was a signal to his wife to escape. She did. There's different accounts of whether his daughter lived, but his daughter escaped with the wife, or actually she was, I read one account that she was there, and they just ignored her, and which they didn't harass her. But anyway, his wife and daughter escaped harm. And Jan would be tortured and whipped brutally, and then he would be burned at the stake for his faith on March 28, 1572. He was 32 years old when this happened. And during his imprisonment, he wrote about a dozen letters that we still have. They've been preserved. 11 were written to family members, one to his daughter and some of his friends, fellow church members. They were smuggled from prison, so we still have those. The 12th was written to his captors themselves, actually. And in that letter, he gave his testimony. He gave an account of his salvation and warned them of coming judgment. He concluded that letter with these words: "I confess one Lord, one faith, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and in all believers. And I believe only what the Holy Scriptures say and not what men say." And that was his final words to his captors. But when they went to lead him to his execution, they stuck a piece of wood in his mouth to gag him. And he was taken to the place of execution, actually with another a young woman who was also arrested about that time. As they were drugged, they prayed together for what was about to happen, asking that God would have mercy on them with the pain that was about to take place. A fellow believer broke through the crowd and managed to press real close to him and urged him to bravery. The Lord would be with him. And at that, he pulled open his shirt and he showed his bloody body from the scourging. And he said, "I already bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And again, they took these two to the place of execution. They strangled her immediately, I guess, which was kind of an act of mercy for a woman, I guess. They killed her right there so she wouldn't have to burn alive. They hated him, though, more, and they wanted him to suffer. So they kindled the wood, and as the flames began to take over the wood, he cried out, "Adieu and farewell, my dear brothers and sisters. I hereby commend you to the Lord who shed his blood for us." And what a hero. Think about the impending execution, and you know what's going to happen, and how it'd be so easy to feel sorry for yourself and lament your situation. Yet he's trying to encourage his fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so anyway, we go back to the story. He died, and that terrible death. So what were his instructions to his young daughter? And this is part of that letter, which you can find and read. And his story is very interesting. The letters we have that we still can read, and I may take another week and look at those. But he wrote this. He said to her, "When you come to years of understanding, diligently search the Holy Scriptures, and you will find that we must follow Christ Jesus and obey him unto the end. And you will also truly find the little flock who follow Christ. And this is the sign of that little flock. They will lead a penitent life. They avoid that which is evil. They delight in that which is good. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are not conformed to the world. They crucify their sinful flesh more and more every day to die unto sin which wars in their members. They strive and seek after that which is honest and of good report. They do evil to no one. They pray for their enemies. Their words are yea, that is yea, and nay, that is nay. Their word is their seal. They are sorry that they do not constantly live more holy, for which reason they often sigh and weep. Let not this, however, be the only sign by which you may know those who follow Christ. They are also these, namely, who bear the cross of Christ. For he says, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me,'" quoting Luke 9:31. And, you know, as I read that description, as I read that that letter to his daughter, you know, the question does come to mind, you know, and it is kind of humbling when you think about it, but, you know, would she recognize me as one of that flock? You know, would she see in my life, oh, there's a Christian my father spoke of? And I think it's a great thing to think about. You know, here's a man who will die in days writing to his little girl, and I think about what may have happened to her, or we don't know her story, if she lived a life following the Lord. But I want to thank the Lord for these heroes of the faith. And you know, I think of that verse today we just read in Philippians. I'm sure this verse was near and dear to his heart, as it says, "That I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings." And so I thank the Lord for these men and women who died, these horrible deaths, and the legacy they left us. That we could read how they approach these times, and you know, it's an encouragement for us to live faithfully in this time of prosperity, in a sense, that we have freedom of religion, when so many have lived faithfully in these terrible times and paid a dear price. So we thank the Lord this morning for Jan Van Kuchik this morning.